The 25th verse of this 8th chapter of Mark, the scripture says, after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Mark is the only gospel writer who records this miracle. It took place at Bethsaida, near the place where Jesus fed the 5,000 men. And this man's friends brought this blind man to Jesus with hope in their hearts that the Lord of glory would touch him with merciful hands. The Lord Jesus dealt with him differently than he did with any other object of mercy. He was not a machine, and he dealt with people as individuals on a personal and dynamic way. He took this man and he led him out into a distant place, and he performed the only miracle that was not instantaneous. I want to bring you a message tonight that I have entitled, Jesus Heals a Blind Man. The first stage of this man's miraculous healing is found in verse 23. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught or if he saw anything. The Lord Jesus spat in this man's eyes. Now that might not seem like a very popular thing to you or a very common thing, but the Lord of glory does what he wants to, the way he wants to, and when he wants to, and how he wants to. He used that which was of himself with the efficiency of his own person. In my experiences in recent weeks, I have become less and less dependent, trusted on doctors. They don't know what they're talking about most of the time. But the Lord of glory did. Everything he did for a reason. And here, the efficacy of the means, this spit that he put on his eyes, is intricately connected to the one who used it. This wasn't just moisture. This wasn't slobber off an old dog. This was the holy spit of the holy man. And it was common medicine. In ancient times, people used to spit on wounds, and that made them well. And I can remember when I was a youngster and I first started fooling with horses, and some of the things we did to horses were not very sanitary, very neat. But you know what? They worked. And it's worked. And the Lord used a variety of methods to prove that he was not bound by any particular method of functioning. The Lord of glory did what he wanted to. And he did it how he wanted to, and to whom he wanted to, and when he wanted to. The outward operation was nothing of itself. Take a blind man, you can put water on his eyes, you can spit on his eyes, you can put Vaseline on his eyes, you can put bacon grease on his eyes, he still won't be able to see. It was used because of his sovereign authority. He's a king. A king can do what he wants to do. And there's no refuting it. A king can do what he wants to do. He can use any means he wanted to. He could use spittle, he could use anointing oil, he could use dust, he could use anything. The Lord Jesus was clothed by supernatural power. And it appeared to be natural to him. He was the omnipotent one who could heal with or without means. The Lord of glory walked up to blind men and said, see. They saw. He walked up to dead men and said, get up and walk. And they walked. He walked up to men who were deaf and said, hear. And they hear. But this man, in his purpose, for his reason, he spit in his eyes. And he made him see. He could heal with means. He could heal without means. Doctors always got means. Every time I deal with a doctor, they got some new plan or some new objective or some new medicine or some new pill or some new treatment. The Lord of glory didn't need any of that stuff. Think about how many miracles we've talked about. And how many of them the Lord didn't do anything. He just said, walk, talk, hear, speak, see. And the reason he did that was because he himself was the true source of all healing and life. People could see because he was God and he told them to see. People could walk because he was God and he told them to walk. Then Christ asked this man a question. The last part of verse 23, he asked him if he saw anything. Can you see anything? Now, if you've never been blind, you might not think this was much of a deal. But if all your life, all you'd seen was darkness out of your eyes, and a man touches you, and all of a sudden you can see light, and you can see the shapes of men walking, there may be hope. There may be hope. When I was a youngster, I used to work at a drugstore and deliver medicine. And there was a lawyer and his wife who lived here in town. They were both blind. They lived up over that building where the Main Source Bank is now. And they couldn't see a thing. And or he couldn't. She could see shadows. And I talked to him once or twice about it. But she said, I can't make out anything. I don't know who it is or what it is. This man could see a shadow. And he could describe something he'd never seen before. He'd never seen men who looked like trees moving. He knew he saw men, but he couldn't discern their shape. He couldn't determine their size because his vision was still cloudy. You know, a lot of people have tried to explain this gradual cure as if it was some work of human faith. Well, this man didn't have any faith, and the Lord touched him, and he worked up some faith, and he could see a little bit. Then he worked up a little more faith, and he could see a little more. That's foolishness. Faith is a gift of God. It's not something you do. It's not something you earn. It's not something you deserve. It's something God gives you. Many people have tried to explain this gradual cure as a work of the flesh. The Lord doesn't work the works of the flesh. He works the works of the Spirit. And Jesus awakened his hope of being completely cured by giving him just a glimmer of light. If you've never seen light at all, and suddenly you can see a little light, there may be hope. This gradual healing is a tribute to the freeness of divine grace. You know, grace is never limited to a single way of manifestation. I've been thinking about this a lot in recent weeks. You know, God sometimes gives us grace to suffer. He gives us grace to grieve. He gives us grace to be sick. He gives us grace to bear burdens. But sometimes the hand of God works in little steps, and sometimes it's just instantaneous. To some men, the Lord said, "What do you want?" And they said, "We want to see." He said, "We'll see." This man, he said, "Can you see?" He said, "Can't see much. See more than I could." We don't always see clearly at Christ's initial touch. I've been very impressed by the young man who's been preaching to you for the last few weeks. I have known a lot of young preachers in my life, and I'll say more about this later, but in less than a month, I will be preaching for 50 years. And I've seen a lot of men try to preach that can't preach a lick. They can't preach a lick. That's all there is to it. Everybody keeps hoping they'll get better. Well, he's going to practice some more. He'll do some more. He'll get better. He won't get better. Men that God calls to preach, he gives the ability to preach. And men that stammer and stutter and harangue on, they're not called of God. The old blindness of depravity lingers in us until Christ clears it away. It's there. I'm depraved. I know that. If you're not, I hope you learn. Because you are. It doesn't always show up plainly. It sometimes sneaks out at the most unexpected moment. But this clarity of vision that this man wanted comes from obedience and faith. The Lord said, "Can you see?" He said, "I see the shadows of men, but I can't tell how tall they are or how big they are." But the Lord Jesus is not only the author of faith, he's also the finisher of it. The finisher. I've been a Christian since 1967. And I've been preaching the gospel since 1968. And back in those days, I'll be honest with you, I thought I was just about the hottest thing that God had on the market. And I felt like that the world was just going to bow down and kiss my feet, form a parade and recognize me. But through the years, I have learned more about God than I thought I'd ever know. And he's taught me a lot about himself. He's taught me a lot about this work. And he's taught me that he does it. He does it. In verse 25, we see that Jesus touches this man again. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. The Lord told him to look up and he'd be able to see. This man been blind all his life. First time the Lord told him to look up, he looked up and saw a cloud. Saw a shadow. Now the Lord says to him, "Look up again." And he could see. He saw every man that stood in front of him as clearly as if he had 20/20 vision. His blurry sight was eradicated by the sovereign touch of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, eye surgeons today, they know a lot about healing sight by degrees. I've had about, I think, 20 eye surgeries, laser surgeries. And every time the doctor says, I'm going to get a few more, I can't get them all. I got one or two I don't know what I'm going to do about, but I'll get this one, and I'll get that one, and I'll get the other one. I usually can see a little better when he gets through. But I always wonder, what about those others? But a glimmer of light activates this man's optic nerve, and suddenly, he can see. He can see. Our Lord's benediction is completely effective. He saw every man clearly. In the spittle that Jesus put on this man's eyes, he gave the man a part of himself. Ever stop thinking about that? Ask somebody for something, what do you want? I want a $5 bill, or a blank check, or a gold coin, or this, that, or the other. I've never asked anybody to spit on me. In fact, I'm not sure I really want them to. But the Lord of glory spit in this man's eyes. And virtue streamed from him through that liquid and touched this blind man. His flesh is the instrument through which God's word works. God works in you, and he works in me. He works in his church. He works in his saints through his word. Through his word. I've got 3.5 college degrees, and I learn more about God every morning by sitting down reading the Bible for an hour than I ever learned in going to school. His fully restored sight proves that Jesus never leaves his work unfinished. All kinds of people leave work unfinished. I went to see a fellow the other day about fixing my van, and he had a whole field full of cars and trucks out there, some with the fenders off of it, and some with the doors off, and some with the body off of it, and this, that, and the other. But he won't leave them that way. And when he gets through with them, they'll look like they're brand new. The Lord of glory touches people like you and me. I thought about Daryl last night, the night before, quite a bit. And I thought, you know, so often we think God takes somebody away in such a harsh manner. But did you ever stop to think that God takes people away in exactly the way he aims to? I know Daryl better than 50 years. That wasn't the first time he ever drove a tractor. Wasn't the first time he got off of one to open a gate. And it probably wasn't the first time one had jumped back in gear and he got out of the way. Say, why God let that happen? Because he's God. He's God. This man looked steadfastly and told the master about his sight. I can see. After that first divine touch, his eyes are opened at last. Now he doesn't just see shadows. He just doesn't see figures. He sees people. He'd never seen people before. First time I read a biography of Fanny Crosby, somebody asked her, aren't you sad that you've been blind all these years and you haven't been able to see flowers and trees and birds and people? And she said, oh, no. Oh, no. He said, why not? Because the first time my eyes open, they're going to see the Lord Jesus. What a testimony. first person this blind man ever saw was the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? How about that? I know some people that are rather attractive, but I know some people that are really ugly. And I think about babies sometimes, and they look at those ugly people, and I think, I wonder if they knows what that is. This man saw the Lord of glory. He could see men at a distance, and they looked cloudy, but he sees him. What majesty for this blind man to clearly see the face of the God-man. I don't know what Jesus looked like, and nobody else does. He didn't look anything like the pictures that you see that are in your Bibles and in books and on calendars and stuff like that. He didn't walk around with a long hair and a long beard and a halo glowing over his head and the stuff like that. In fact, the indications are from the book of Isaiah, who was a rather ordinary looking man. Nobody recognized him as special from the way he looks, but he was special. He was special. Now the Lord asked this man something. Look at verse 26. He sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. He told this man, go home. Go home. Stay away from town. Stay away from people. Just go home. Because his objective was not to publish the fact of this miracle. The Lord didn't care if anybody knew about it or not. There was no need to speak of his blindness to those who knew him. Because if they knew him and they saw him, they knew that he was different. He had changed. The fact that he went home with seeing eyes was silent proof of God's miracle. I like to think about the things in the Bible that are not spoken. Can you imagine when this guy walked up on his front porch? If he was married, his wife must have been shocked. What happened to you? His children said, Daddy, you can see. His neighbor said, we don't know what's going on. This fellow, he was blind all his life, and now he can see. The fact that he went home seeing was proof that God had done something for him. And the Lord's advice to him to avoid people was good for his spiritual discipline. You don't have to tell everybody everything you know. And you don't have to tell everybody everything you do. You don't have to tell everybody what God does for you. If he did something, they'll notice anyway. You can't keep it a secret. We don't know if this man respected Jesus more than others that he healed. You would hope that in gratitude for the miracle that occurred, he would obey him. But because he has divine wisdom, Christ's ways are always the best. If the Lord of glory tells you to do something, there's a reason for it. I've been a Christian now for a long time. And the Lord's told me a lot of things. A lot of things in the last 50 years or so. And I have said to myself a time or two, are you sure? Are you sure? But the Lord always knows what he wants. He has a purpose in it. And to obey God is better than to offer sacrifices and offerings as they did in the Old Testament. It tells us in 1 Samuel 15:22 that Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Faith and obedience are Christ's desires for his beloved. Believe and obey. And then there's some lessons that we ought to learn with regard to this miracle. In verse 27, Jesus went out and his disciples into the town of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, "Whom do men say that I am?" You see, the lessons in this healing are symbolic. There's a message there. Everything Christ did, everything he said, every time he spoke, there was a message there. And this incident is like a parable that's being acted out. I don't go to many plays or things like that. I just never have, but I've been to one or two, and I'm always intrigued by how somebody can act a part. And before they're through, if they're good actors, you begin to believe their part. It took two miracles of feeding the multitudes to convince his disciples that he can feed us. We are very seldom enlightened and very seldom sanctified without some process or some pain. God has a purpose. And those purposes often involve pain for us, hardship, suffering, trials. In his flesh, we may gain some spiritual vision in our flesh. Even if we've been brought from darkness to light, we still need him to touch us. If this man had been walking down the street one day and God in his sovereign purpose had said, "See," and he could see perfectly, it would have been just as much a miracle as this was. But it wouldn't have changed the man. The Lord Jesus is able to remove spiritual cataracts that cloud our souls and keep us from seeing him. Then, and only then, will our eternal vision be given to our hearts. You see, it's not what your eyes see that matters. It's what your heart sees. It's what your heart sees. Our daily prayer ought to be for the Spirit of God to open more eyes of understanding and make men and women to discern more fully the meaning of the divine will. I have been very ill, as most of you are aware, and I've learned a lot of lessons. I learned a long time ago not to be afraid of dying, and I'm not afraid to die. But I've learned a lot of lessons about my father. I lay awake one night at the hospital and prayed all night long. I prayed for my children that God would bless them according to his purpose. I prayed for preacher friends of mine and young preachers I know of that God would use them. And more than anything else, I prayed for you. And I prayed for this church. That if God chose to take me home, that he would guide you and call it a new pastor who would come here and honor him by preaching this blessed truth. Jesus came to this man who was completely blind, and he prepared to heal his eyes. He wanted this man to understand clearly what the Lord was going to do to him. Today the hospital called me. One of the hospitals I was in called me and gave me a survey. And one of the questions they asked me several times was, did the doctors explain to you what they were going to do? Did the nurses explain to you what they were going to do? And I said, no. They don't do that. They just do what they're going to do. The Lord did not leave this man with clouded eyes, and he could have done that. He could have made him see men like trees and still not be able to see them. But he cleared his vision to see. He had a purpose. Christ not only healed this man, but he taught him how to live. He taught him how to live. Go home. Don't go to town. Go and tell the multitudes. Go home. God has a purpose for you in your life, whatever it may be. It might be Jimmy herding cows over the hills down to Ebenezer. Buddy working on a gate somewhere. Whatever you might do, hear him. Every miracle that Jesus performed was intended to teach a spiritual lesson. After that, he put his eyes again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. That's God's will.